Well, good morning, everybody. This is not how I normally find myself on a Sunday morning. Normally, I'm, throwing my guitar off and going off to the side or going into the back. So it's definitely a little shocking to be up here and still talk to you guys. When I was planning on doing my message, God laid a couple of things on my heart, and I wasn't really feeling them. Like I was doing my devotions, and one of them seemed pretty cool. And then I was talking to one of my friends back home, and I was talking about how, I have to go back to school, and I'm not super excited about it because I'd much rather stay out here and continue to do this with you guys every Sunday. And he said, "It sounds to me like you're not content." That hit me right in the gut, because I wasn't being content with God's plan for my life and where he was taking me. So today we're going to talk about godliness with contentment is great gain. That is the sermon title. You could write that down, and then you don't have to write anything else down because that's what I'm going to be preaching on today. See, the story is told of a pilot who always looked down intently on a certain valley in the Appalachians when the plane crossed overhead. One day his co-pilot asked him, "What's so interesting about that spot?" The pilot replied, "See that stream? Well, when I was a kid, I used to sit down there on a log and fish. Every time an airplane flew over, I would look up and wish I were flying. Now I look down and wish I were fishing." See, it's always tempting to think that others have it better than we do, and that if we just had a little more, everything would be fine. But contentment cannot be achieved by increasing possessions. Nothing will ever be enough. See, contentment is a constant battle in our sinful hearts and minds. There's always something more or better than what we have. Whether it's the newest phone or gaming console or a new guitar in my case, we are always in this constant search for the next best thing. But we will never find it if we keep our eyes focused on earthly possessions. The only way we find it is if we turn to God and find contentment in where he has us. So I'm going to give us a little bit of an example and like a definition of contentment. It's a lot of big words, and I'm very sorry. It says, "Contentment is a state of mind in which one's desires are confined to his lot, whatever it may be. It is opposed to envy, greediness, ambition, anxiety, and complaining. It arises from the inward disposition and is the offspring of humility." Now, it's the offspring of humility, and it is not complaining. It is not envying. It's not greediness. It's not anxiety. It's really easy, right? It's really easy to not be anxious, and it's really easy to not be greedy, and it's really easy to not want the next coolest thing, and it's really, really, really easy to be humble, right? Contentment is hard. See, I struggle a lot with complaining. Something doesn't go the exact right way, man, I'm upset. I'm complaining. How can this happen? We were doing VBS, and one of my costume pieces was supposed to come in on Wednesday. It did not come in until Friday, and I was so upset. I told Pastor Dave on Wednesday, and Pastor Dave was like, "Why are you complaining?" Like, it was such a little thing that I was so upset about because it wasn't there. So, firstly, I'm telling this to myself. See, because I have to seek contentment, and I have to get over my humility, or my pridefulness, my anxiety, get over the complaining, and find that God and his plan is much, much, much better than mine. So if you guys could open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, that's where we're going to spend the majority of our time today. I'm going to be in verses 6 through 11. Let's read this together. It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together as a church body, as a family, God. I pray that you would bless this time and you would use me to communicate your word well, and that you would help me communicate what you have clearly communicated to me this morning. God, I pray that you would bless the rest of our time together. In your name I pray, amen. But godliness with contentment is great gain. That's verse 6. I could stop the sermon now, tell y'all to go home, and you guys would have the gist, right? Because that's a gut punch. See, it's been one of my biggest issues in my own life. And for instance, I really, really, really wanted to go to Cedarville. And I talked about this when I was sharing my testimony back in June. I really wanted to go to Cedarville. And, you know, I had a scholarship for Heart Song. I was going to be on their traveling band. And I didn't really have anything back home. My relationship with my parents wasn't great. I didn't really have a solid ground there. I didn't have a lot of friends, and I really didn't want to be in my hometown anymore. I'd been there my whole life. And so I was pleading with God, God, please take me anywhere but here, really. I mean, Cedarville would be great, but anywhere but where I am. God made it abundantly clear that I was not going to Cedarville when he gave me, you know, just that scholarship for Heart Song, which meant I was going to spend about $25,000 a year. And then I looked at CSU and said, well, they give me free tuition, so there's a lot of, that's like a whole like $20,000 difference every year. And I was a poor little high school student, so there was no way I was paying, and my parents weren't going to pay for me to go. So I was stuck in this position of, man, God, why didn't you just take me anywhere but where I am? Why couldn't I go and be on this really cool traveling band that, you know, goes and does it all summer long and does it throughout the school year? Why couldn't you let me do that? I was so discontented with where I was. I was so upset. I was complaining every chance I had. I was envious of the people who got to do what I wanted to do, and I was stuck. See, he told me everything that I didn't want to do. He told me you had to stay with your family, those friends that you don't have, well, you got to go find some. You've got to stay in your hometown for another 4 years, and you get to go to a school that you've been around for 20. I was not very happy, to say the least. But I learned very, very quickly that God was going to do some great things for me at CSU. And that's not, what's the school in Ohio? It's not that CSU. It is Clarkson University out in Northeast Pennsylvania. See, he put me right where I needed to be when I didn't want to be there. So I was in a great spot for the first year of my time at CSU. And I got to learn a lot of new things, but my attitude was so bad. I was so upset. And I lost a lot of valuable information because my heart wasn't in the right place. I wasn't content with where God put me. See, I recognize now that I needed to stay at CSU, and now I'm super excited to go back. God has me in the same dorm that I've been in for the last 4 years. I'm going to be an RA there, which basically means I get to babysit 10 other college students. And I'm super excited about that, right? But what if I was super excited about being a freshman at the college and receptive to the things that God was teaching me? How much more would I have gained knowledge-wise and faith-wise? I don't know, because I wasn't content. I saw what God told me to do, and I was upset about it. I didn't pull a Jonah, thank God. I didn't try and run away, but I was upset. See, if I had chose godliness and contentment, I would have grown and gained so much. But if I choose godliness, I also have to choose contentment. They come together. They're a package deal. If I choose contentment, I have to be choosing godliness. I have to be choosing to become more like Christ. See, that's the beauty of verse 6, is they come together. Godliness with contentment is great gain. If you in your situation decide, I don't need that nice new, you know, 2024, whatever the newest, nicest car is, and say, all right, God, I have this old broken down 2007 Ford Focus out in the driveway, and that is good enough for me because I can get from here to work and from there to back home and then from here to church. See, if you try to view it from a thank you because I did not deserve it, then you're going to be able to multiply the things that God has given you and multiply the opportunities in your life. Verses 7 and 8 read, for if we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world, but if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. Man, that's another gut punch to me. If you have food and clothing, you should be content. Now, I by no means have name brand things. I mean, I have Adidas shoes on, but like, I don't have, what is it, Prada. I don't have all of these fancy brands. And man, if I could, that'd be great. You know, if I could spend $1,000 on a jacket, that'd be pretty cool. I don't have $1,000 to just spend on a jacket. I still got to pay for college. I got car bills. My insurance bill is like $250 because I'm not over 25 yet. I can't, right? But I have a shirt on my back. I got shoes on my feet. I had breakfast this morning. I should be content. See, if you look at Matthew chapter 6, it has something called the Lord's Prayer. Most people know the Lord's Prayer, you know, off the top of their head. The Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's like the normal, like everybody knows that part. Some people skip over this next part, which is verse 11. It says, give us this day our what? Daily bread. Not our weekly bread, not our monthly bread, not the yearly bread. Give us this day our daily bread. See, Jesus is not focusing on the, God, I have, you know, like, I want this new car, I need this new car in 6 months. No, Jesus is saying, give me the food that I need for today. Give me what I need to know for today. Give me the knowledge I need to learn for today. See, it's not this focus on all of these great things. It's not this focus on the newest car, the newest clothes, the nicest food. It's not that focus. It is give us today what we need. See, it's very important because the Father knows what we need. We see this before in that chapter. The Father knows what we need, and he will provide them to us in his timing. Man, isn't that scary to take a step back and say, ugh, it's not my plan. It's not when I want it. I've got to trust that God's going to provide it when he knows I need it. See, you've got to let go of that want because it's not about what we want. It's about what we need. And God knows exactly what we need. And he will provide that for you. See, there's this artist, secular artist, doesn't believe in Jesus, who just released a new song. And it goes like this. There's always going to be a higher high you could chase for the rest of your life. Greener grass in the yard next door or a shined up Chevy a little newer than yours. You're never going to fill up an empty cup if what you got is still not enough. The thing about happiness I've found is it doesn't live in bigger houses. Man, that is a secular artist who doesn't love Jesus, who doesn't know the hope that we have in him, who's recognizing that possessions doesn't make it better. That possessions doesn't fill a hole that's in your heart. See, if we could recognize we have the hope of eternal life, there is a God who is bigger than all of us that we know and have a personal relationship with. How much more hope can we have in that? We can recognize that there is a God-shaped hole in our hearts and then be excited about it because we can fill that hole because we know the hope. So we don't need it in bigger houses and nicer things and a new guitar. We don't need it in all of those things because we have a hope that is bigger than that and we know who fills that hole. See, there's another song by a secular artist. And it says, there's an aching, there's a hole in my chest. It's amazing that the crown of a king doesn't change it. It's amazing that what we all want is fashion. Let me read that again. There's an aching, there's a hole in my chest. It's amazing that the crown of a king doesn't change it. These guys are at the top. They make all the money in the world. They don't have to worry about another bill. They don't even need to look at it. And these guys recognize that there is something really wrong with the chase that they are on. See, we know what that hole in our chest is. We have the hope of an eternal life, an eternal God who has loved us, who sent his son to die on the cross for us. Why wouldn't we fill that hole with God? But instead, we're filling it with a nicer house, a nicer car, nicer clothes, you know, new guitars because it's shinier than the one I got last year. We get so caught up in those earthly possessions that we lose the idea that God is better than it all. See, if we truly decide that Jesus is better than all of those things, then what are we doing, right? Because if we truly decide, there is no reason that I have a perfectly good working guitar, I spent way too much money on that one, why am I going, if I open up for you on my store app, I have like 3 more guitars saved for when I have just enough money for it. I got a perfectly good looking guitar over there. It works fine. My focus wasn't on God filling my needs and fulfilling those needs. It was, what's the newest, nicest, shiniest thing I can have? See, my eyes weren't focused on God. And it is, like I said, it is such a hard thing to recognize that people who live in the world, who have it all, have recognized that there's a hole in their hearts. My hope is that through a lot of this, you can recognize the hope that we have in God that can fulfill those extra needs, those needs, because we all have a list of actual needs and then our needs and then our wants, right? Because we have the things that we try to claim as wants, like, you know, like the nicest food. You know, you go to the store, you look at the steak section and you're looking over it and you just recognize like, oh man, that's like a lot of money, but it's a really nice steak, but I really want it. I need it, right? Except you don't. See, because we look for really, really nice things when we don't need them. Because I can be totally content with this guitar over here. There's always going to be a nice, shinier one. But if I say, all right, God provided that when I needed it, I'm going to use this until he provides something else. And you can't take that argument for everything else, because frankly, you do need food. Money is necessary. When your car breaks down, you do have to fix the car. But we get so caught up in, man, I can't wait to make this much money so that I can go buy these things. That shouldn't be the focus. See, because in verses 9 and 10 of 1 Timothy 6, it says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. See, because this love of money, this love of possessions gets in the way of the love of God. See, because we all need to go to work. I came out here, I had a long conversation with Pastor Joe and Pastor Dave because I can't come out here and not make any money. Because like I said, I've got a $250 insurance bill for my car. I've got phone payments. I've got all these things. So if I were to come out here, I would need to make some sort of money. And so I needed to figure out, do I need to get, you know, another job to support my life? And I understand that money is absolutely 100% necessary. But when that becomes the focus and you put that over God and what God's plan is for your life, you're doing something wrong. This chase after money, this chase after, you know, these things can lead you down a very dangerous path of that being your only pursuit, when our goal should be chasing after God and pushing other people to God. See, because it says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. We need to make sure that we have our priorities right. See, we already looked at the fact that people who are on top of the world, who make a lot of money, people who have all of those things, who don't have to worry about a bill, feel lost. They recognize that their possessions aren't filling their hole. And you could say, you know, Matt, I don't need the nicest things. I just need a better car that I can trust will get me from point A to point B. Trust me too. I have a 2007 Ford Focus that's literally rusting out of the bottom. Like any day that car could just fall apart. I don't have the nicest car. God gave it to me. And the story of it is somebody backed into my 2002 luxury Lexus car that my grandma gave me. And I thought it was going to be fine. Nope, they totaled the car. And they gave me $7,200 for that car. Now, I don't know if you know what the car market is like right now, but used cars sometimes sell for more than the new cars. And that's not fun when you're looking for a car. So I went to Facebook Marketplace. I was looking for a couple of weeks. I really needed it because I was working off campus at the time. And, you know, I was needed to get from point A to point B. And then I saw this post from a friend. Well, it wasn't really my friend. My dad taught him in high school, and I played on the same soccer team with him when he was a senior and I was a sixth grader. So I could say we were friends, but we weren't really friends. And he was selling his 2007 Ford Focus that he drove to school when he was going to school in high school. It's a pretty old car that I didn't want to buy. My mom looked at me and said, Matt, how many times are you going to find a car like this in the market? And I said, there's no way I'm going to find like it had like 73,000 miles or something like that. It was pretty great, other than the fact that it was almost completely rusted out when I bought it. This car was selling for just under what I needed it to pay for the car and to pay for, you know, the tax that they have to do on all of the sales. God provided exactly what I needed when I needed it, but I spent 2.5 weeks worrying and then not being content with the choice that God gave me. That was a tough place to be, because I really didn't want, it looks like a beat up wreck, right? Nobody wants a car that looks like a wreck. Nobody wants a car that looks like it's been in 3.5 accidents and put together, taped together by you know, the last guy who really wanted it to pass inspection. See, but God provided what I needed when I needed it, whether I liked it or not. See, he didn't give me the nicest looking car with, you know, low mileage, and he didn't give me this really fast car either, which was really sad. He didn't give me this, you know, I was actually just talking to Bruce. I looked at a Dodge Dart, had 120,000 miles on it. They were asking for $14,000. 120,000 miles on a car. They're asking for $14,000. See, I wanted that really fast car, and my parents told me, nope, you're not taking out a loan. We're not paying for it. You got to find a car. And that car came along, and I get to live with it now. It got me from here to home, which is a 6-hour drive, which I was really surprised about. God provided what I needed when I needed it. It might not have been what I wanted, but it's gotten me this far. He's provided it every step of the way. That car has needed over $2,500 in extra repairs since I bought it. That car has been awful to me. It has not treated me very well. In the first 2 months, I had to spend $1,000 replacing parts on the car. I didn't have $1,000. I was really scared. Somebody at my church walked up to me and said, you know, I've been praying for you. I'm really excited for you going to college. I know that you don't get like a whole lot of scholarship money because I still have to pay for school. I know that you don't get a lot of scholarship money, so I want to give this to you and thank you for what you've done here at the church. It was $1,000. Man, I was so mad at God. I'm going to be honest. I really didn't want the car. The car was causing me all sorts of things, but God provided $1,000 for me. December of just this last year, when I came out here, my car broke down right before I had to drive out here, so I had to steal my dad's car. Another $1,000 for this stupid car. Needed tires, needed a couple other things. I don't even remember. I'm not much of a car person. Didn't have the money for it. I came out here and I was like a wreck. Because I was coming out here, I was spending the weekend out here, which meant I was missing 4 days work. Really didn't want to miss all of this time at work because I needed the money. Got home after being out here, and it was such a pleasure being out here with you guys. My school said, hey, we have this extra opportunity for you to work an extra 40 hours this week on top of my already 40 hours that I work in a week. We'll pay you double your time for the last 40 hours. God provided exactly what I needed when I needed it. Because while I had to put in the work this time, he gave me the time that I needed. See, I mentioned that this has been a lifelong struggle for me, and it really has been, because I've been in so many places in my life that I've hated where I've been. You know, I was in a youth group that I didn't want to be in anymore because my mentors left. I was a hot mess. I didn't want to be there, and I complained about it all the time. I had to go to CSU. I didn't want to go to CSU. I complained about it all the way there. I complained about it while I was there for the first year. I was stuck. God puts you where he needs you to be and gives you what you need to have to succeed. I've had to learn that over the last 5 years, and I will continue to have to learn that for a long, long time. Because while God keeps providing for me and I can look back and see it, I struggle to see it in the current situation that I'm in. And I don't think I'm the only one who does. Because bills start coming in and, you know, work wants more and more from you, and you just are struggling to find the time. Struggling to find any real, you know, like time to get away from it all and release all your stress. It starts piling up. And then even though you remember that God was good back then, you can't remember that he's still going to be good now and provide exactly what you need. See, I can't give you a 5-step plan on how to be 100% content with where you are. What I can do is encourage you with my story of how God's provided every one of my needs since I've gotten here, and he will continue to in my time at CSU. See, because God says in Luke 21 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. And then it finishes the verse saying, and he will give you everything you need. See, the Apostle Paul, I don't know how much you know of the Apostle Paul's life, but it was pretty rough. He had his struggles. He had plenty of needs in his life. And he wrote a whole book to the Philippians thanking them for their you know, prayers and gifts that they had given and just giving them, you know, encouraging them. And he says in Philippians 4, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. If we could take a step back out of our own lives and say that for ourselves, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. If we could look back and say to God, God, I understand that you are going to give me what I need. Please help me have the courage and the faith to take a step back and trust that you're going to do that. See, because we get so caught up in every one of our needs that we miss out on the fact that God is a big God. Like, he created all of us. He's bigger than whatever hurts or whatever needs we have. He can provide that for us. To encourage you all, we're gonna read verses 11 from 1 Timothy 6 saying, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. See, if we pursue these things, we are pursuing God, and contentment will come with all of those. See, if we're choosing godliness and we're choosing contentment, that is great gain. That's exactly what verse 6 says. But godliness with contentment is great gain. If we're seeking godliness, we're also seeking contentment. Let this be the encouragement for you today. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for who you are and how you provide in our own lives, God. I pray that you would bless us going into this week and remind us of your goodness and faithfulness to us, even when it feels hard. Even when we are struggling to see past this moment, God, I pray that you remind us of your goodness and your faithfulness in those hard moments. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for who you've been to us and who you always will be for us. In your name I pray, amen.